Welcome and thanks for listening to Open Door Baptist Church's Sunday morning messages.
How in the world could we ever repay such a sacrifice for Jesus to give his life? And I really don't believe we can. When I think of it in terms of what soldiers have given, paid the ultimate price, given their life in regard to the freedom that we have in our country, I don't think we really can repay that. But you know, we ought to do our best to try in the way that we live. And so that's the opportunity that we have today, and I pray that we will. I want you to take your Bibles this morning, if you would, please. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 4. 1 Samuel chapter number 4. And we're going to read the first 10 verses for our text this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 4. And we'll read the first 10 verses for our text. Beginning in verse number 1, "And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle and pitched beside Ebenezer, and the Philistines pitched in Aphek. And the Philistines put themselves in array against Israel. And when they joined battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines. And they slew of the army in the field about 4,000 men. So the Israelite army lost 4,000 men in this battle." Verse number 3. "And when the people were come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, 'Wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Let us fetch the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh among us. It may save us out of the hand of our enemies.' So the people sent to Shiloh that they might bring from thence the ark of the covenant of the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth between the cherubims. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the ark of the covenant of God. And when the ark of the covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout, so that the earth rang again. And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, 'What meaneth the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews?' And they understood that the ark of the Lord was come into the camp. And the Philistines were afraid, for they said, 'God is come into the camp.' They said, 'Woe unto us, for there hath not been such a thing heretofore. Woe unto us! Who shall deliver us out of the hand of these mighty gods? These are the gods that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. Be strong and quit yourselves like men, O ye Philistines, that ye be not servants unto the Hebrews, as they have been to you. Quit yourselves like men and fight.' And the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten, and they fled every man into his tent. And there was a very great slaughter, for there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen. They lost 4,000 in the first battle, and in this second battle they lost 7 plus times more, 30,000 men." I want to bring a message this morning that might be a little bit unique from this passage, but I think you'll understand the truth and the principles that we can glean from it. We've entitled the message this morning, "The Philistine Fighting Philosophy." The Philistine Fighting Philosophy. Go with me in prayer one more time, if you would, please. Father, we thank you again for this day that you've set before us. We thank you, Lord, for the Scriptures and all the different accounts from which we can learn, from which we can glean. And Lord, we can grow in our lives and we can go forward for you. Lord, I thank you that even from our enemies, we can learn some lessons. I pray that we'll learn some valuable ones this morning. I pray, Lord, that as the army of the Lord that you've called for us to be, that we will serve and that we will fight and that we will battle for you the way that you would have us. Lord, that we would be just as valiant and just as courageous as so many men and women have, even in our own country, in its short history, in the battles and the wars that have been fought for our freedom. Help us with that this morning. And I pray again, if there's somebody here this morning who is not a believer, who has never invited Jesus Christ to come into their lives and received for themselves the sacrifice, the gift that He purchased by His sacrifice on their behalf, I pray they'll do so even today. We love you. Thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. Apparently, it was Ralph Waldo Emerson, a student of Harvard Divinity School, who stated, "In my walks, every man I meet is my superior in some way. And in that, I learn from him." Now, from my perspective, it speaks to the greatness of our Creator, in that each of the billions of human beings designed has a spark, the potential, if you will, for reflecting that superior and supreme being in whose image and likeness he has been created. Pride will prevent us from realizing that we can and should learn from people we do not admire. By the way, I realize that there's a month coming very quickly now that has been entitled Pride Month. We better be careful about pride. If I understand the Word of God the way I believe I understand it, there is never a time in the Scriptures where pride is mentioned in a positive way. It's always mentioned in a negative way. And one of the things that it does is it prevents us from realizing that we can and should learn from people we do not admire, even if it is simply a lesson of what not to do. It can be a very valuable lesson nonetheless. In this regard, hear me this morning, Satan himself is a superior with a worthy lesson. The Philistines, descendants of Noah's son, Ham, should to some degree be studied. They maintained quite a successful record of world domination for hundreds of years. Yes, it would seem that God gifted them, as He does all people, with peculiar and particular gifts which we may not possess. So we may not be able to say, I can fight like the Philistines this morning, because we may not have the specific physical gifts that they possessed. At many occasions in my life, I have been reminded of my lack of the gift of about 12 more inches of height. Something that's essentially impossible to duplicate. I know some of you come from a generation where platform shoes were all the rage. But even if I wore some platforms this morning, I don't think I could actually get that 12 inches that I've always longed for. Is it possible to still learn a valuable, repeatable lesson from an NBA player then? I certainly would not want to be Michael Jordan or LeBron James. But I believe that I can learn from them. In similar fashion, it is impossible for us to duplicate skills for which we have no gifts. Yet, the broad majority of us can consider an approach, a tactic, a philosophy. Now, hear me this morning. It is a fighting philosophy that catches my attention when I look at the Philistines, and I'm apparently not the only one. I want you to notice again verses 7 through 9 In our text chapter, 1 Samuel chapter number 4, notice again verse number 7. 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse number 7. And the Philistines were afraid, for they said, God is come into the camp. And they said, woe unto us, for there hath not been such a thing heretofore. Woe unto us, who shall deliver us out of the hand of these mighty gods? These are the gods that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. Be strong and quit yourselves like men, O ye Philistines, that ye be not servants unto the Hebrews as they have been to you. Quit yourselves like men and fight. Now I want you to hold your finger there now and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. In the New Testament, the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 16. 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. Notice verse number 13. The Bible says here, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong, let all your things be done with charity. Verse number 14. I want you to think about this. Could it be that Paul the Apostle said to himself, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, I have no use for a moral lesson from the Philistines of yesteryear, but we can certainly benefit from a motivational and even a methodological lesson from those Philistines. You see, there are no other instances in the Scriptures where this message that the Philistines put forth, this Philistine army put forth to their brethren, there's no other place in the Scripture where we see this exact message mentioned except for in 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. And what I believe is that the Apostle Paul, reading through these Scriptures, decided, hey, I don't want us to be like the Philistines, but the fighting philosophy that they gave in that day, I think we can glean from that fighting philosophy. And so what I want to do for the next few minutes is I want us to be able to talk about the Philistine fighting philosophy. And I want to say to you this, if we're going to remain free as a nation that has religious freedom and all the other freedoms that come as a result of that, we better pay heed to this Philistine fighting philosophy. We're living in a day where we have gone soft in many, many ways, where we're just not as tough as we once were, where we're willing to give in and give up and not willing to sort of go that extra mile. If we're going to maintain the freedom that God has given us, we better pay heed to this philosophy. Number one this morning, I want you to notice what he said not only in 1 Samuel chapter 4, but also in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, that we need to see like a man. That we need to see like a man. Now, ladies, I'm not trying to offend you this morning. All of these that we're going to say this morning are going to be like a man. But we're not talking about just doing these things like a male. Because we know that there are many, many males, even in our society, that we wouldn't really call a man because of the way in which they act. And so they don't embody what it would mean to be a man. So I'm not trying to offend our ladies this morning, but what I'm really trying to do is point out the philosophy of a fighter, of a warrior. And I want you to know something this morning, ladies. There have been many, many women down through the ages, not just in our history as a nation, but all throughout human history, many ladies that have had the spirit of a warrior, of a fighter. We have some in this church this morning. I've been around you long enough, and I'm closer to some than others. I'm married to one that I know has a fighting philosophy. In a good way, all right? In a good way. See like a man. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter number 4, and they understood that the ark of the Lord was come into the camp. This is interesting to me because these Philistines had just had a battle where they defeated 4,000 troops of the Israelite army. I would say that's pretty good. 4,000 men on the other side that had perished in battle. They had just had a victory in that battle, but now they begin to continue to look around at the things that are going on, and they're watching and they're seeing the things that are going on. They're hearing, they're using their senses. And the Bible says they understood that the ark of the Lord was coming to the camp. In other words, they were able to keep their eyes open and watching long enough to know that something had changed in the war. That something in this battle, even the one that had recently been fought, that something now has changed. Something has shifted in this battle. And the Bible says they understood that the ark of the Lord was come into the camp. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, "Watch ye." Now, I want you to hear me this morning, Christian friend. If we're not careful, and I believe we're dealing with this right now in our country, in Christendom, those that name the name of Jesus Christ, I believe we're dealing with this in the day and age in which we live. If we're not careful, we will live in what has been called an echo chamber, where all we ever see is how great we are. Our ears can paint a beautiful mirage in this way. In other words, the Lord has given us such great prosperity and peace in our country and within Christendom, in this part of the world, for so many years and even hundreds of years, going back to the start of our nation, that we can look around in a peaceful, otherwise calm period of time, and we can stop watching the changing of the atmosphere. To look around and see, well, is it really as peaceful as it has always been? Are we really as prosperous as we have always been? And this Philistine fighting philosophy said, even when you have victories, you must continue to maintain a spirit of watchfulness. Looking around you, seeing what's going on. In today's day, someone says, oh, I long for the yesteryear. Those were the good old days, and they may have been. But can we see the changing tides of spiritual things, even in our country today, that God is not worshipped like He used to be? Can we look around this morning at a holiday weekend, Memorial Day, and see where there was a day in America where even on a holiday weekend, and maybe even especially on a holiday weekend, people would flood into churches all over our nation. Not only because it was a holiday weekend, but because it was a Sunday. Now you look around and what do you see when you think of Memorial Day or Labor Day or many other holidays? You see folks making plans to be able to go and party and go to the lake and go and do this and celebrate in this way, but forget God. I'm saying if we're not careful, we'll sort of have this mentality of burying our heads in the sand and not watching that the winds are sort of changing even right here where we live. These Philistines didn't have that mentality. They continued to watch. They continued to see. They continued to look. And they noticed some things and they said to themselves, oh, the circumstances have changed even after the battle that we just fought and won. So we must continue to see like a man. Look, folks, I understand. I'm like you. There are times where I might turn on the news, whether that be on the television or on the phone or maybe in some sort of a magazine or something like that. And I really don't want to read what's in there. There's so much bad and there's so much evil and there's so much wicked. But Christian friend, you better hear me this morning. We better stay aware of what's going on in our society. We better know what we're up against if we're going to be prepared to fight like the Lord has called us to do. Then we've got to be like the Philistines in this regard, and we've got to see like a man. Number two, not only should we keep our eyes open and see like a man, but we ought to stand like a man. The easy thing to do when we keep our eyes open and we see the evil that's in the world is to sort of tuck our tail and run. You know, I'm going to simply take care of my family and take care of my own proceedings and sort of go day to day and go here and go there. But, you know, I'm going to try not to really make a whole lot of eye contact with folks, and I'll just live in my own little bubble. What does it say there in 1 Samuel chapter 4, verses 7 and 8? Twice the Philistines said, "Woe unto us! Woe unto us!" That word of woe was a word of warning. It's a passionate cry or expression from a heart of belief. In other words, there was somebody that was willing to sound the alarm. And in that way, they were standing up and letting other folks know, hey, some things have changed, and we've got to sound the alarm. Would to God there were more preachers in the pulpits this morning sounding the alarm, saying some things have changed and we've got to stand. We can't afford to tuck our tails and run the other way. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13, he says, stand fast in the faith. Could I say this to you this morning, Christian friend? Crying does not have to mean quitting. When those Philistines said, "Woe unto us," I imagine that there was some exasperation going on, and maybe even some tears started to flow for the fear of the things that were going on. But you know what they didn't do? They didn't quit. And when it comes to us standing for the Lord, we may have times where great sorrow and great grief comes upon us because of the circumstances in which we find ourselves today. But the Bible says we must stand fast in the faith, with a belief in our God, in a belief in the truth. I'm reminded of the psalmist who said, "I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and He heard me out of His holy hill." You say the things that are going on in our society, they would cause me to even cry tears, real tears. Yes, let's cry unto the Lord, but let's not quit. We must stand like a man. Call out, raise up that warning, that alarm, and not quit. See like a man. Stand like a man. Number three, surrender like a man. Isn't it an interesting phrase? Quit yourselves like men. Quit like a man. It's kind of an interesting phrase, kind of a weird phrase. We would think to ourselves, a man doesn't quit. That word there, quit yourselves, that's the Hebrew word, and I'm not making this up, if you want to remember it, it is hiya, like a karate chop. That's exactly what the Hebrew word is. What it means is, this is interesting, quit yourselves like men. Think about this. It means to be or exist. To be or exist. As in, maintain your honor and integrity. Don't forget who you are. There's two temptations when we look around at the world in which we live and we see the evil and we see the wicked. One temptation is for us to tuck our tails and run. Here's another temptation. Let's just join in. If we can't beat them, we might as well join them. And I see that all over Christendom with all the wokeness that has come even into our churches. It's like, well, we can't really stand up against this, So we just, you know, we'll make some concessions along the way. When he says, quit yourselves like men, what he is saying is this: you maintain your honor and your integrity as a Philistine. It means something to me to be a Philistine. Christian, can I say to you this morning, it means something to wear that name, the name Christian. At least it ought to. And we ought to surrender like a man, in that even when we take defeats, we are going to maintain our honor and our integrity. I'm going to be like Job, who said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. Quit like a man. Give up like a man. Even there are times that we'll get defeated in our daily walk, even in our personal lives. We're going to have defeats. But hey, let's not forget who we are in Christ, who we exist to be in Christ. Let's maintain our honor and our integrity. See like a man. Stand like a man. Surrender like a man. Number four, be strong like a man. I like this. Say, what is this talking about? Is this just talking about brute strength? Oh, I believe there's much more to it than that. The book of Galatians helps us out with this matter. Be strong like a man. What does he mean by that? Does he mean, Philistines, you need to go out and in between this battle and the next one, you need to pump some iron? Is that what he's talking about? No, folks. Galatians chapter 6, we find these words: brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. What were they saying as Philistines? What is the Lord saying to us when he says, be strong like a man? Hear me this morning, believer. We are to be burden bearers, not burden shirkers. Burden bearers, not burden shirkers. That means when we see that somebody else is weak, we ought to come alongside them and be strong and help raise them up. Somebody else says, I'm going through a time of weakness in my life, in my Christian life. I don't know if I'm going to make it. We ought to be the kind as believers to try to raise them up. Brother, I'm going to pray for you. Brother, let me give you some encouragement from the Scriptures. Be strong. I would imagine the Philistines, this was going on. They had just defeated 4,000, but now they say, oh my God, the gods have come, the same ones that rescued these people out of Egypt. How can we win? And I would imagine there were those within the army, strong ones, that raised up another brother and said, hey, we can go and at least fight as Philistines. Be strong like a man. Be a burden bearer, not a burden shirker. You know, it blesses my heart. We've got this work that needed to be done. There's some more that needs to be done here on the property for different purposes. But this work that needed to be done the last couple of days, and you know, it really does, it encourages the heart of a pastor. When folks hear about a job that needs to be done, they know it's going to be a tough job, a somewhat dirty job, a somewhat smelly job at times. I thought a little bit about Mr. Mike Rowe this past weekend here, dealing with some dirty jobs. A little bit dirty. But some men that would step up to the plate and say, I'm willing to get under that load. Things that need to be done around the church. Some ministries that need to go forward. Some boys that need to be coached in football. Some young ladies that need to be ministered to and brought under wings. Say, young lady, this is how a young lady ought to act. Be a burden bearer, not a burden shirker. Be strong like a man. See like a man, stand like a man, surrender like a man, be strong like a man. And finally, and this is really the crux of all of this, swear like a man. I want you to think about this. He says in 1 Samuel chapter 4, they said, the Philistines, that ye be not servants unto the Hebrews. It wasn't as if the Philistines simply wanted victory for victory's sake, or that they wanted to simply remain dominant in and of themselves. They said, we don't want to be servants to the Hebrews. And what they really did in that moment is they made a covenant with themselves. We will not be servants to the enemy. We may be defeated. We may lose our lives. We may lose our legacies. But we will not be servants to the enemy. Think about this. When it comes to swearing, we think about a marriage ceremony where a man and a woman come before a pastor maybe, or maybe a judge, and they swear certain things, loyalties and allegiances, and to be faithful to one another. And what is the basis for that swearing? Is it just, oh, we want to have a strong partnership or a strong home? Or is there something deeper than that? What it really comes down to ultimately is the love that those two have for one another. And so as a result of that love, they commit themselves to one another in love, and they say, we are not going to be servants to the enemy. What does God say in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 14, after He says, see like a man, stand like a man, surrender like a man, be strong like a man? He says, let all things be done with charity. Charity. You see, the Israelites, they thought that their great standard, their great banner, their great flag, we sang about a flag here just a little while ago, was this piece of furniture known as the Ark of the Covenant. This was the place where God said, I will dwell, my presence will be. But it's interesting when I look at the Israelites on the other side, right after they had lost 4,000 men, it's interesting to see what they said. Look at again at 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse number 3. 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse number 3. Swear like a man. 1 Samuel 4, 3, and when the people were come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Now notice this. Let us fetch the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us. Notice this. That when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies. So, Pastor, what do you think the Israelites believed at this point? Based on the circumstances of what was going on in Israel at this time, based on the representation and the leadership having moved further and further away from God, I really believe that the elders thought of the Ark of the Covenant as if it was sort of like a lucky charm. As if they could just raise up, think about this now, Americans this morning, as if they could just raise up an American flag and wave it, and as a result of that, there would be victory. They said that it may save us. Now hear me this morning. Standards are good and beneficial and even biblical. Laws are good and beneficial and even biblical, but a standard merely represents that which we love. You understand what I'm saying this morning? In other words, we're not swearing to some piece of furniture or to some flag that has been raised and waved. We're not even swearing to a piece of wood in the shape of a cross or to a tomb physically as it is. What are we swearing this morning? We're swearing to a person. And we love God. And as a result of that, we are to love one another. And when we swear to each other like that, maybe, just maybe, we can have victory in battle. Now we know we're going to have victory in war. We know that when Christ comes again, He's going to be victorious over all. But in the meanwhile, there are some battles still to be fought and won. And we can see like a man and stand like a man and surrender like a man and even be strong like a man. But understand this, if we don't swear like a man, in other words, if it's not about love for him and love for one another, we will be defeated. We can look the way we ought to. We can say the things that we ought to. We can carry on traditions that we ought to. But we're going to experience defeat. Now, we have a manual standard that sets our methods, our music, our modesty. We have a manual standard. But our love should be for the Savior. You know, Independent Baptists especially, we're good oftentimes about waving the book. And we ought to. This is our hope right here, the Word of God. But understand, it's not just about a book. It's swearing our allegiance to the book that represents, or the Lord that represents the book. You understand what I'm saying this morning? And the reason these Philistines were able ultimately to have a victory when it seemed like there was no way for them to have a victory is because their allegiance was to something deeper. It was to one another. Now, had the Israelites kept their allegiance like it should have been to the Lord and not to a piece of furniture, I believe they would have won the victory. But they went out and they were so encouraged by a banner, a standard, if you will, but they didn't understand that the one that they should have been loving and putting first and having their allegiance to, he wasn't there with them. And all I'm saying is this, we might have a good church and a good church building and a good Bible and some good traditions and all of that, but if we don't come back to maintaining our allegiance day by day, week by week, year by year, to the Lord and then to one another, we will experience defeat as well. Now folks, I want to be victorious. I know that in my Lord Jesus Christ, we are ultimately victorious. What does it take in order to do that? Well, the Philistines have the right kind of fighting philosophy. Keep your eyes open. See like a man. Stand like a man. Speak like a man. Surrender like a man. Don't give up. But understand, at the end of the day, it's all about swearing like a man. Lord, I live my life for you, and as a result of me living my life for you, I live my life for other believers as well. We're going to win, lose, or draw together. And that's the kind of force that the Lord will get behind and will experience victory. Would you bow your head and close your eyes this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed.
Thanks again for listening to Open Door Baptist Church's Sunday morning messages. We hope you got something from this message.